in Ukraine. Let's check in with Joseph Lindsley in Lviv. And Joe, you have more on those sabotaged pipelines today?
Yeah, Bob, good afternoon from a rainy day in Lviv. And first I'll mention, you know, these the regular attacks on cities in the on the Eastern Front and the Southern Front continue. Last night, there was a Russian missile attack on the city of Dnipro, that city of almost a million people, with three people dead, including then a 12-year-old girl injured. So that continues to be the nightly and daily reality here. But meanwhile, I would say, yeah, the biggest topic today is these the two pipelines, the Nord Stream 1 and Nord Stream 2, that go from Russia to Germany. And there, we say the word sabotage. There are, I would say, there are two main divergent opinions about what might have happened. I would say some, including those Americans who tend to side with Putin a little bit, they say that the United States was probably behind these attacks. And what we these attacks right now, we have, it seems there are four leaks in each of these pipelines, a total of four leaks. And so one camp says that perhaps the United States is behind this. And there might be some logic to this way of thinking. You know, why would Russia sabotage its own pipeline? This pipeline that has given Russia such leverage, especially over Germany, but also over over Europe in general. And in just a few days, this new pipeline from Norway to Poland will begin to be partially in operation. So it seems that it makes sense, maybe. You know, we don't need the Russian pipeline anymore, so let's blow it up and get rid of it. Mm-hmm. Some people in that camp are concerned that this is pushing, you know, prodding Russia to a further escalation. But then I guess also in that, we have to mention that before the full-scale Russian war began February 24th, on February 7th, President Joe Biden said in a press conference very clearly, he said, if Russia invades Ukraine, again, there will no longer be Nord Stream 2. We will bring an end to it. And one of the reporters said, how could you possibly do this? And kind of with a smirk, he said, I promise you, we will be able to do it. Hmm. So there is something we have to consider. I mean, you know, right now, your listeners, Americans, Ukrainians, we're all kind of in between trying to figure out what is the the reality here. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, the Nord Stream 1 pipeline, which has been in operation for years, Russia had already reduced the flow significantly throughout the war as a response to the European and American sanctions. And then the Nord Stream 2 pipeline was supposed to go into operation this year, but it has not yet been delivering any gas whatsoever. And so the pipeline was not being used. So this is just a little pieces of information as we try to figure out, you know, what exactly is going on. In May 2021, the Biden administration waived the sanctions against the company that built the Nord Stream 2, the Russian company. And at that time, the Secretary of State Blinken said that this is going to increase energy security in Europe. So that was just over a year ago, and we see that obviously that's not been the case. At the time, both some Republican and Democratic senators were very critical of the Biden administration for getting rid of these sanctions, allowing this pipeline to proceed. And I remember being here in Ukraine. Ukrainians were very frustrated at the time with both Germany and the United States for allowing the Russians to continue to construct this pipeline. Before that, during the Trump years, the Trump administration did sanction. They were the first to impose in 2019. They imposed sanctions on Russia for this pipeline. And so this has been something that people have been worried about for a long time. In fact, President Zelensky in 2021 was given a joint press conference with Angela Merkel, who was then the chancellor of Germany. And Zelensky said, if you let Russia build this pipeline, it will put us in an enormously dangerous situation. He said the main risk will be borne first by Ukraine, but then he said it will become dangerous for all of Europe. And I think those words might be a little bit prophetic. Angela Merkel's response in that press conference in 2021 was that she agreed with Zelensky, but she still was going to go ahead with this project, which the Germans were very much invested in. And she just said that we must insist that gas must not be used as a geopolitical weapon.
Wow.
So I think if we look at this, you can see sort of the wishful thinking of some European leaders, but the reality of, say, Zelensky and Ukrainians who feared that something like this could happen, that you know, that Russia would use these as weapons.
Yeah, so much to think about there, so many questions, and still, as you point out, Joseph, the culture there, whenever folks have a chance to gather and enjoy the music and the art of the country, they still do. We were talking about the Ukrainian folk tales yesterday and a show in Ukrainian village here in Chicago.
Yeah, and you know, and that's what I was thinking about. I mean, it's... A friend had just sent me some words that were sort of germane to that topic, because the as I mentioned yesterday, there was this very popular show on Amazon about the Lord of the Rings, the Rings of Power. The new leader of Italy is saying that she feels she lives in a real life Tolkien story. But the reality here in Ukraine is that, like, this battle between good and evil that most of us have only seen in films, you know, and fiction, is actually happening at this point in our lives here in Ukraine. And this woman, Anastasia, she's a friend of mine. She's a jazz pianist and a music teacher. And she sent me these words last week. She said, "If our enemies are ferocious orcs," and, you know, the orcs are these monsters from Tolkien's and from Tolkien stories, "and Ukrainians, whether they're the soldiers in the trenches or civilians, routinely call the Russians orcs. And I really feel that they are living in this drama." And so Anastasia wrote me. She said, "If our enemies are ferocious orcs, we must be wise elves. For Tolkien, consider how the elves protected each of their brothers and trembled over preserving their knowledge and their culture. I hope and believe in our common sense, intelligence, and consciousness." And this is so much, I think, of what we see of the Ukrainian response. I was just watching some videos on Twitter of Ukrainian soldiers making music, you know, in between fighting. And this idea that we must, you know, even with the hatred and the rage people feel against the invading Russians, you cannot lose your humanity. You have to keep your culture. You have to. And there was a story a few months ago of a philosopher who's now a sniper, you know, and he was saying how difficult it was for him to live in that reality. And so I think the Ukrainians have this good sense that you have. And some of this, amazingly, if you read the stories of Tolkien, you can see that these same questions were wrestled with in those stories, which I think shows that there's something universal to these struggles between good and evil. And so for sure the Ukrainians, and I see that too, even with and the last thing on this score, I was talking with my friend JB. He's a French army veteran and is here to volunteer. And he was on the way back to France, and he said, "When I go back home to Paris, I from Ukraine, I can't sleep at night." He says, "Because here in Ukraine, we can joke about the trauma and the horrible things we see. You can sing about it. You can sort of put it, try to make sense of it in that way. We can talk about it, and so we can rest easy at night. But," he says, "when I go back, when I leave Ukraine, there's no one to talk to who really understands these things, and I can't sleep."
Wow. A philosopher, now a sniper. That says it all. And one text for you from a listener, Joe, says, "I served in Vietnam. Those who I served with all suffer from PTSD, including myself. The dreams Joseph talked about recently on your show is describing sounds that I have heard in my sleep. It's an awful lot like PTSD. Joe, we'll talk tomorrow. All the best to you, my friend.
Thank you, Bob.